The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Head on over to jointhenerdclan.com to get all kinds of great bonus material and extras from Blake and I, whether it's Blake's book club, Keep Calm and Crown On, or even the After Dark bonus podcast. There's a lot you don't want to miss out on at the Nerd Clan. So if you want to support an independently produced podcast like this, or Mary and Blake Media in general, if we're bringing you Lumos in the time of Knox, please head on over to jointhenerdclan.com and become part of the best community on the interwebs. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress, Ed Finch. Everybody, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and there is no way I would allow a little permission slip to prevent me from going to Hogsmeade.
Oh, especially for the first time when all of the other third years are going.
I absolutely would have forged that bad boy in a heartbeat. They don't know what the Dursley signature looks like.
I know.
I would have forged that in a second.
And that's why you're a Slytherin.
Yep, absolutely. There's no chance. No chance. I'm skipping out.
Who was it? It was one of them. Was it Seamus or Dean, who's really good at forging, and one of them was going to like forge it for him, but who knows? Who knows? I feel like McGonagall would know that the Muggles would not sign that permission slip. Well, of course, this is Chapter 8 in Prisoner of Azkaban, Flight of the Fat Lady. Mm-hmm. And this is the quote that I've chosen.
Okay, what do you got?
He thought for a moment of telling Lupin about the dog he'd seen in Magnolia Crescent, but decided not to. He didn't want Lupin to think he was a coward, especially since Lupin already seemed to think he couldn't cope with a Boggart.
I love that. I love that only because I think I love that this is when you really, really start to like Lupin as a person.
I liked it too because what would have happened if he had told Lupin about the dog, the shaggy black dog at Magnolia Crescent? What would have happened at that very moment? Who knows, of course. So before we jump into this podcast, we wanted to, of course, remind you that you can find Blake and I on all sorts of social media. And I got to tell you, our Instagram is heating up. So if you're not already following us there, Mary and Blake Media on Instagram. Hello to all of our peeps on Instagram right now. We've got a bunch of people. We've got Kathleen and Aurora and Denise and Becky and Holly. I've been saying a little hello to a bunch of you over there. But we also wanted to let you know we're on all sorts of social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or you can just head on over to our website. You can be old school and go to maryandblake.com to find all of our podcasts and blogs. And of course, thank you to all of our friends who've made this possible at jointhenerdclan.com.
And of course, don't forget too about our Facebook group, just the Mary and Blake Facebook group. Just search it, Mary and Blake. You'll see us there. And at that point, you get a chance to check out all of the great, cool nerd stuff that we have going on. It has been on flames lately.
Loving that
with all the great stuff. Then people just are having a great time over there. So Mary and Blake Facebook, if you're on it, and check it out. You get all the up to date information of all the things that are happening at Mary and Blake Media. Love it. You ready to do this, Marvin?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it, shall we?
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Well, Well, here in Chapter 8, Defense Against the Dark Arts is the coolest, unless your name is Malfoy. And Quidditch practice begins. Oliver Wood, oh, my heart throbbed when I read these books. He is all in. This is his last year. Let's make this happen. Crookshanks still doesn't like Scabbers. Ron and Hermione, because of their pet issues, not getting on board with each other. Harry doesn't get to go to Hogsmeade, but gets to have tea with Lupin. And he talks about the Dementor and fear. And Snape is making a potion for Lupin, which he drinks at the Halloween feast. And last but not least, Sirius Black has slashed the fat lady's portrait. Dun, dun, dun.
Great, great cliffhanger.
Seriously.
And oh.
Bam. Just like that. A winner.
Good job, Mary.
Do you want to know something?
What's that?
In second grade, I got a really bad score on a test.
Okay.
Mind you, this was like the 80s. And so the teacher like ridiculed me and said my mom had to sign it. Nowadays, they wouldn't do that. Okay. Because that's like shaming the kid.
They don't
and
do
it's
that
like,
anymore.
No, we don't do that. Anyway, I needed to take home this test and have my mom sign it. So I forged it.
I bet you that didn't work out so well.
I wrote Sandy. In like second grade scribble handwriting.
Oh my God.
Sandy.
Oh my God.
Even then, I was nervous about my mom knowing about having a bad grade.
You are.
Scarred me for life. I never got a bad grade again.
You are such a dork. You know, the funny thing is I've done the same thing too.
But yeah, but like
I was
you
so
did
awesome.
On the regular.
I didn't get caught because I was amazing.
My hand was like shaking. I can't believe I'm doing this.
It's like, you know, as a teacher, that must be so funny. Like when you know that it's been forged, like, you know, that the kid did it and they didn't want to bring it to their parents. Like, how do you even handle that?
Seriously.
Like, do you call the parents and be like, listen, this happened?
They did. She did. And my mom had to sit me down and she was like, so I had an awkward conversation. And just so you know, I don't sign things Sandy. Probably need to work on that a little bit, girl. All right. So let's kick things off. I underlined a lot of fun stuff in this book.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. As we've been doing these chapter by chapters, I've been writing a lot in my books and sometimes not with pencil, with pen, which I know is like an ultimate sin with a book, but it excites me because I kind of feel like one day when our kids find this set of my Harry Potter books, because there are multiple sets, that it'll kind of be like their version of the Half-Blood Prince.
Ooh, look at you.
If they can read my handwriting, because it got tremendously worse in second grade. The first thing I underlined here, of course, we're talking about the Defense Against the Dark Arts being the talk of the town. It's the coolest class, except, of course, with Malfoy and his friends. And Malfoy likes to make fun of how poorly Lupin dresses. Once again, what is Lupin spending his money on? Is it the ingredients for this potion? We don't know, but
maybe
it's
it was that
not
brand new suitcase that he had. Oh, no, that thing was all shabby, too.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, maybe he just doesn't care about appearances and he's like putting into a Roth IRA. But Malfoy says he dresses like our old house elf. Can we just like have a moment for Dobby?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because he dresses like our old house elf. What has Dobby been up to right now? We haven't had any word about him. We're in chapter 8, and I just kind of loved it that this was dropped in. We all know that house elves wear shabby clothes, but it's like, oh yeah, that was Malfoy's house elf that we hung out with throughout the entire last book. So just that extra little thing that the author does where she weaves in still those characters that you need to be able to savor and remember. But what, of course, nobody else cares how patched or frayed Professor Lupin's robes are.
Yeah, no, and he... He is awesome in this chapter because he sees that Harry is just unable to go to Hogsmeade. And like he knows, obviously, like Harry's just, you know, shuffling around the school. He just happens to find his way by the Defense Against the Dark Arts office.
Oh, you're like jumping.
Oh, that's fine. We can do whatever you want. It's up to you.
I'm going by page.
You do you then, boo. I'm here and you're the host.
Of course we're talking. So the other thing, of course, like everyone loves Lupin except Snape, because Snape is hearing everybody talk about that embarrassing thing that happened with Neville.
Right.
Mind you think that Neville would be more embarrassed, but Snape, of course, has been still super mean to Neville. once again, Snape sucks as a teacher. Lupin, great teacher. Snape, terrible teacher. Snape hears that Neville's biggest fear, like literally the shape that the Boggart turns into, is him. And yet he continues to treat him poorly.
And like actively takes revenge against him.
Bullies Neville. And Snape's eyes flashed menacingly at the very mention of Professor Lupin's name. And also I wonder, you know, Lupin, of course, was besties with James Potter.
Yes.
How much of this is resentment against Lupin and like the cool kids of that
100%.
Year? 100%. You know, it's like, of course, the first thing he would do is make fun of me and like have me dress up and have a big red handbag.
Yeah, hate absolutely. Red.
Black is my color. And then, sadly, Care of Magical Creatures has gone down the pooper.
Yeah, this is unfortunate. Hagrid has lost such confidence in himself and his ability, because he's scared now. Like, and it's only natural. Like, you did something and it got messed up.
Yeah.
It's only natural that you're going to pull back.
Hagrid has a tough time in this book. He has a real tough time. Exactly. Like, here he is. He's so excited to start teaching. You know, he would have been such an exciting teacher, and he loses his confidence. And I wonder, we're going to have to keep our eyes out. I want to know when Hagrid gets his confidence back.
Absolutely.
Because he gets tremendously heartbroken about Buckbeak later on. You know, some crazy things happen. Do you know the purpose of a flobberworm?
Nope. Couldn't tell
either. I bet our son could tell us.
That must be the worst. That must be the worst, like having to deal with flobberworms.
Having and, to
like,
poke shredded lettuce down the flobberworm's slimy throats for an hour. And they do this every class. Just
Jennifer
shoving it down.
Jennifer on Facebook says, poor Hagrid, he needs a hashtag Minute with Mary level boost.
Oh my gosh, honestly, I'd love on that, man.
I like, though, how there's this mirroring, well, or at least where...
I'm looking up flobberworms in case you're wondering.
That's fine. No problem. You do you again. You do you, boo. You're the host. I like how the author has used Snape as a measuring tool for two teachers here. Earlier, she used Snape as a measuring tool for Lupin, and how Snape took kids and did them dirty, essentially. And picked on Neville and so on. At that point, Lupin was the one who built Neville back up again and allowed him to be strong and find the wealth of his own personality within that class and supplemented that. Same thing goes here too. Snape can be a good teacher. He has great knowledge, but uses his bad attitude against the students and takes this again once an opportunity once again to belittle Neville. Whereas Hagrid probably isn't much of a teacher, but loves the kids, wants to do the right thing, but is now pulled back because of everything. And I love how she uses this, that the author uses this dichotomy to show an example of what one teacher is up against another and how they are different.
Yeah.
It's excellent stuff.
We shift from classes to something that Harry cares a ton about, which is Quidditch. Quidditch is back in town. It starts in October. So they literally just play throughout the cold time and keep on going. I think that's kind of cool that they like get the school set up. But this seems to be the only sport. Like, if you don't make this team of seven players your house, there's no JV. There's no like cross country or track. Like, there's nothing like the catch all. You know how, like, if you really wanted to be an athlete, but you didn't make those other teams, like, track would take you.
Yes.
Yeah. No matter what, like, y'all can find a, you can sit here. You can sit here at track. not dissing track. I'm just saying it was open.
So, it was a catch all. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Everyone can be fit and have fun and run. So they go through the Quidditch practice. And as I said, Oliver Wood was a burly 17-year-old. Now in his seventh and final year at Hogwarts. He says, this is my last chance. The old manic glint back in his eye. Oh, I love this guy.
Oh, Wood's the best.
I particularly love that the three chasers on the Gryffindor team are girls.
Oh,
they have Alicia Spinett, Angelina Johnson, and Katie Bell.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
Harry says that no amount of mud, rain, or wind could tarnish his wonderful vision of finally winning the huge silver Quidditch Cup. No amount of it. Yep. All that gross weather. I got to tell you, this would not be my sport. No amount of mud, wind, or rain.
Mary,
I've got a limit.
Mary's not the one, not one for weather.
No, I love the weather.
No, you don't.
Like, I love to be inside and look at it.
Yeah, that's the limit. That's your limit, Mary.
I hate,
you can't,
like,
be out
football.
When it's too hot. You can't be out when it's too cold, no. When it's rainy. You can do snow.
I love snow.
You do love snow. But, like, you know, you're not going to be watching football when it's snowing.
No. And that's what I keep thinking about Quidditch. Like, it's starting in October.
Right.
And England's cold. Scotland's cold. Like, I think about where we are in Patriots country.
Yep.
And how people will go to football games in November, December, times when people are playing Quidditch.
Yep.
And they just sit in the stands. I wouldn't even go to these games.
I remember back in the day, before I met you, the Patriots played the Titans in the playoffs. I think this was like probably 04.
Okay.
Might have been 04. Might have been 03. I can't remember which. Mm. We went to the game. At Gillette Stadium, and it was -5 degrees, and like
all set,
you
can't even see your eyes freeze open.
Yeah, you couldn't even like move. You just sat there, and
not fun.
Your whole, like, you know when your joints get like stuck.
Yeah,
that's how it was, and it was so cold that it wasn't even cold anymore.
Like,
was,
I wonder if in the Wizarding World they have, you know how we have those hot things that you can like stick in your socks or your gloves? Yeah. If you could just have, maybe Mrs. Weasley knits enchanted socks that just keep you cozy. Maybe like enchanted long underwear. Then I'd be down.
Yes.
Absolutely. I would wear that under my uniform. I mean, let's be real. I would just be the announcer. I would not be playing this sport.
You and Lee Jordan.
No, yeah. He's pretty
He's
much
like
one of
your
my favorites.
Friend.
Yeah. I'd be dating Oliver Wood, and my bestie would be Lee Jordan.
Well, you got married to the real life Oliver Wood, so.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Except as a Slytherin.
That's true. That's a good point.
So in the midst of Quidditch and Harry just running on this high, he gets deflated with the worst third year deflatement possible, Hogsmeade.
Yeah. That poor kid. I mean, that sucks. And I love the back and forth that he has with McGonagall, right? Because I would love to know your thoughts on why McGonagall does tell him no. I mean, she has been one to, shall we say, bend the rules. Purposefully ignore them, we'll say.
When it comes to Quidditch, she's all into bending.
Yeah, but there's...
But she has... Okay, so, I mean, it does say, you know, she says that she ends up telling him no. The form clearly states that the parent or guardian must give permission. So I know that one of our friends in here, I think it was Rachel, had brought up, you know, who's to say that the permission forms don't have a charm on them, first and foremost? That, like, it won't even be accepted if it's not a parent or guardian. But also she turned to look at him with an odd expression on her face. Was it pity? I'm sorry, Potter, but that's my final word. You'd better hurry or you'll be late for your next lesson. So in addition to possibly it being charmed, we don't know, Sirius Black's still on the loose, guys. Okay,
well,
that's part of the other thing.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
Is she saying no because of Sirius Black? And if Sirius Black was not an issue, is she saying, yeah, don't worry about it?
I don't think she would.
Really? Why?
Because the rules are the rules.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think this would be an easy one to bend. It could be something that she could be like, we can talk about it next time.
Yeah.
But we've got to get things approved.
And the other thing too is like, okay, she's a teacher and, you know, I'm thinking about it in a very real world human way, but let's say she's a teacher and she does say, yeah, sure. Yeah, Harry, you go. I'll take care of it. And then all of a sudden he slips, falls on the snow, breaks his neck and... He, you know, like that's it. Like now she's the one responsible for that.
Yeah.
It's her in the grass.
I did write down in my Half-Blood Prince notes to myself on the side of the book.
It's such a
I put,
dork.
Is she feeling this because, is she feeling the pity? Is she feeling pity because she knows the aunt and uncle? I mean, these are the same people that she said, they're the worst sort of muggle in book one. She knows they are literally the worst sort of muggle.
Yeah.
So, of course, they wouldn't have signed Harry's permission slip. How could she have ever expected them to? He's had nothing but terrible experiences there, especially worse since he went to Hogwarts. So, it is pity, but also it is for his own good right now. So, I don't think... I bet you she could bend the rules.
Sure.
Not right now, a Sirius
But she knows, and I love how the author does put this in there. Was it pity?
Mm-hmm.
Because we do know that it is pity. We know that yes. she knows that whatever is happening, whatever the Dursleys did or did not do, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And she's stuck with the bag of saying, sorry, Potter, yeah. you can't go.
That a tough job.
Sucks. That sucks. And I appreciate that.
You know what sucks? The fight between Ron and Hermione because of Crookshanks and Scabbers. So as they're like hanging out, Scabbers jumps onto Hermione's lap, munching on a spider.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how you felt about that.
Out. Out, out, out.
I kind of thought that you and Ron would be in since you guys don't like spiders. Like, I kind of felt like Ron would be like, way to go, Crookshanks. Thanks for catching a spider.
No, eating spiders is the worst. Like, I can't think of a worse thing on this planet than like eating us with the legs and the pincers.
And then, of course, he says, keep him away. Scabbers is my bag. And, of course, Crookshank jumps. He whirls the bag around. Crookshank's still clinging to it. And Scabbers flies out the top. Scabbers, of course, runs and hides. They're able to catch Crookshanks. But this just begins a chapter long of Ron and Hermione not getting along.
Yeah.
And Ron even says, there's something funny about that animal, which is funny because there's also really something funny about Scabbers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ron is so worried that Kat's got it in for Scabbers, ignoring the people around him who were starting to giggle. And Scabbers was here first, and he's ill. And I feel so badly for Ron. I know that I've told you this before. If I was a character in this book series,
I would absolutely be Ron.
Weasley. Yep. I'm not movie Ron. I'm book Ron.
Yep.
A bit more intelligent in the book sense than book Ron, but my goodness gracious, this kid's love for his pet, he just doesn't care that he's being made fun of, and he's like, no, this is mine and I am not going to put up with this. And I feel so bad because, you know, we feel badly for Harry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to be killed by Voldemort every year. We feel bad for Ginny. She was, you know,
possessed by Voldemort.
But like, where's our sympathy for Ron? Ron has had Scabbers all these years and loves Scabbers. I mean, I think there's more mentions of Scabbers than Hedwig because Ron loves Scabbers so very much.
It's probably close.
Like, he probably tells him secrets and he just loves him and feels like, you are mine. Like, I'm one of a bajillion children and like, you're mine, Scabbers. And then Scabbers goes and bees Peter Pettigrew.
Right.
And poof, like, there's no pity for Ron.
None. Because, well, it's because you hate Peter Pettigrew so much.
Yeah, but this was also Ron's pet all this time, who Ron desperately cares about. He stands up for him so much that people are laughing at him, and he's like, stop it! Scabbers is ill!
But also, I think it's part of the red herring effect that the author has with Crookshanks. You're not looking at Scabbers as anything other than Scabbers.
No, I'm just worried for Ron's emotional well-being. He needs like an emotional support animal.
Not Scabbers. But I always find that this is one of the coolest little red herrings that the author has done. It's Crookshanks.
Agreed.
She makes Crookshanks the biggest deal. The way that she interacts with mm-hmm. Scabbers.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing ever comes of it. Ever.
Not really.
It's such a red herring.
Lavender Brown. Lav. We get to spend some time. Of course, now Lavender Brown has been one of Professor Trelawney's favorite students.
Yes.
She's all into it. And she finds out that her bunny Binky has died.
You're
and
right.
She is all so upset. And of course, she's especially upset because Professor Trelawney called it.
Right.
And Hermione's kind of a cold friend to Lavender.
Yeah.
Lavender is a Gryffindor in her own year. This means that Lavender and Hermione share a bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, oh.
Yeah, well,
was it old? So if it wasn't old, how could you actually be dreading it?
Oh.
Like, she's trying to be Nancy Drew when Lavender is sobbing. And I loved it because Ron says, don't mind Hermione Lavender. She doesn't think other people's pets matter very much. And I was like, this was the moment when Lavender fell in love with Ron.
Why do you say that?
Or like noticed him.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because he's like, I love my pet too, Lavender. You ignore that mean Hermione girl that probably drives you crazy in your bedroom.
Thanks, one.
I got you, right?
Thanks, one.
Lav, lav, and one.
Oh, man. That's so cute. Oh, one.
So Halloween comes, and everybody gets to go to Hogsmeade. Malfoy.
Yeah. And I love how Harry, all he wants to do is just go to Hogsmeade. Like, you can tell that. I have a similar situation at my college. We have a pub on campus, and I know I've probably talked about this before, but we have a pub on campus. It's just simply called The Pub. And it's like one of those things where the school was like, we know that these kids that are of age are going to be boozing. And even kids that are not of age are going to be boozing. But at least for the ones
what
that are of age.
My school and yours.
Number one, let's have them do it on campus. Number two, let's make money off of it. So they built a pub, and you know, for the first 2.5 years while you're at school, and it's like open to you because the part of the pub is also this thing called the coffee shop, which every student can go to. It's a place where if you didn't want to go to the cafe or you wanted to whatever, you want to meet a friend for a cup of coffee or whatever, you could go. But it's open to the pub. So as a freshman and a sophomore, you're just looking into the pub and there's like security there. They're checking IDs and everything. And all you want to do for 2.5 years is just get into the pub. And like that first day you're able to get to the pub, it walks in, you can just hear the music.
You're like Ron and Fred and George as they put their names into the Goblet of Fire and think they got away with it. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But you really do get away with it because you walk in and you're, oh my God, I'm in the pub. And I feel like that's Harry. Yeah. All he wants to do is get in the pub and he can't. And it just shows you that he is 13. He just wants to hang with his friends, go get candy, drink some butterbeer, and chill out,
seriously.
Dude. And he can't do it.
And
it's
maybe
the
get
worst.
A haircut.
Yeah, maybe get a hair. Where does he get haircuts?
We were just watching the fifth movie, and I was like, they've got some sharp haircuts in this movie, and I don't know if there's a barber on campus. So Malfoy, of course, pokes at him. Are you scared? Are you staying here? Are you scared of the Dementors? And Harry just simply ignores him. And as a 13-year-old boy, I just give Harry the biggest props. Harry could literally, like, bippity-boppity-boo Malfoy away. He's already got massive skills.
Mm-hmm.
But he just ignores him. He, as much as it must pain him, he knows that that's the proper thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love seeing this in Harry. Harry makes very mature choices a lot of the time when it comes to conflict, which I appreciate. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. And then he gets to bump into Lupin.
Yeah. And as I was saying at the beginning of our show here, I love Lupin, how he knows that Harry is sad. Like, mm-hmm. he can see it. And he's in Harry's head, really. I mean, he knows. And Harry's just shuffling around. And the ease with which Lupin speaks to Harry and the calmness that you get from Lupin is freaking awesome. I mean,
think about how most weird it must be. So James Potter was one of Lupin's best friends. And here's Harry, who's pretty much the spitting image of him,
right?
Plays Quidditch, does all this stuff. Lupin, in this short amount of time, already knows that Ron and Hermione are Harry's best friends. He asks right away, like, what are you doing here? And where are Ron and Hermione? Not only knowing that they're his best friends, but kind of also looking out for Harry. Like, why is Harry Potter alone when we have Sirius Black on the loose? And then Lupin has him come in and offers him a drink right away. Do you want a cup of tea?
Well, not only that, he says, hey, you know what? I know, where's Ron and Hermione? Oh, they're in Hogsmeade. You know, hey, why don't you come in here? Wait, I just got this thing, this Grindelo in.
Yeah.
You know, like, why don't you come check it out and just have a seat, man? And he does. He gives him a cup of tea. And again, this is my favorite part of this podcast. I love to read my favorite passages.
Do it up.
And the passage here is awesome. cup of tea, Lupin said, looking around for his kettle. I was just thinking of making one. All right, said Harry, a little awkwardly. Lupin tapped the kettle with his wand, and a blast of steam issued suddenly from the spout. Sit down, said Lupin, taking the lid off of a dusty tin. I've only got tea bags, I'm afraid, but I dare say you had enough of tea leaves. Oh, yes! Love that,
keep
number
going,
one.
Keep going, because I wanted to bring one. Up this point.
Yep, absolutely. Harry looked at him. Lupin's eyes were twinkling. How did you know about that? Harry asked. Well, Professor McGonagall told me, said Lupin, passing Harry a chipped mug of tea.
That's good.
You're not worried, are you?
Okay. Let's get into that for a moment.
Sure, yeah.
Professor McGonagall tells Lupin, Harry was told by Professor Trelawney that he's going to die.
Right.
Does Professor McGonagall just dish in the staff room? Like, was this a Friday teacher happy hour? They've got the gin, they've got everything there, and she's like, guys, my first class with the Gryffindors stunk.
They didn't applause.
When I was a cat. Nothing. All thanks to Trelawney. You want to know what she did? She saw Harry's tea leaves. Oh, you're going to die. Honey, nobody can kill Harry Potter. He's Harry freaking Potter.
Oh, no. I'm Harry freaking Potter.
I was off key. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean. So either she told Lupin because Lupin has a soft spot in his heart for Harry, or she was just gossiping because she was mad at how her first day stopped.
You know how Trelawney was in the room. She was in the room and then she left because she was like bugging out about something, you know, whoever knows. She saw a Nargle somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And she went following it. And then, and you know, McGonagall was like,
I gotta tell somebody.
You will not believe what happened.
But she's like gossiping right away.
Exactly. Yeah. She just gossiped like that.
It was like the first or second day of school and she was like, Lupin. Come here. I need to tell somebody.
I love how unpretentious Lupin is in so many different ways. He has tea bags. Like, as I'm sure we all know the scene in Outlander in season 3 when Frank was making fun of diapers for tea. You know, that's how English people feel about tea bags.
Yeah.
And yet he's got tea bags. And he's all, it's like, it's so unpretentious. He gives him a chipped mug. You know, it's,
you get what you get and you don't get upset.
Right. It's something that, it's just part of his character. He has the shabby clothes. There's no ceremony here. Yeah. And he's an authority, but he's also one where he can, dare I say, he's the cool teacher that turns the seat around, but not so lame. Do you know what I mean?
Turns the seat around. I thought it said seed, and I was very confused.
Sorry,
so picturing
seat.
Professor Sprout. Okay.
You know,
yes.
That's what I feel like. You ever see that skit on Saturday Night Live?
No.
It's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No.
When he's the English professor and he tries to be cool. Oh God, it's the best. Anyway, that's what I got the feeling of, but in a very positive
way. I was getting more like a Good Will Hunting vibe.
Yeah, that's the vibe. Like,
okay.
It's the cool teacher, but one that is an authority, but relatable.
Yes.
But also not like effort, like putting the effort in to be
correct,
cool. You see what I'm saying?
So then Harry asks, why didn't you let me fight the Boggart? And I think that this once again is just, he's brave. Harry has no problem asking these teachers outright, asking Professor McGonagall, can you please sign my permission slip form? As you know, my aunt and uncle are muggles. Professor Lupin, why didn't you let me fight this Boggart?
Right. And Lupin raised his eyebrows.
Yeah.
I would have thought that was obvious, Harry, he said, sounding surprised. Harry, who had expected Lupin to deny that he'd done any such thing, was taken aback. Why? He said again. Well, said Lupin, frowning slightly, I assumed that if the Boggart faced you, it would assume the shape of Lord Voldemort. Harry stared. Not only was this the last answer he'd expected, but Lupin had said Voldemort's name. The only person Harry had ever heard the name said aloud, apart from himself, was Professor Dumbledore.
That's a false fact.
Hagrid?
Yes.
That's true. Yep, good point. Clearly, I was wrong, said Lupin, still frowning at Harry. But I didn't think it was a good idea for Lord Voldemort to materialize in the staff room. I imagined that people would panic. I did think of Voldemort first, said Harry, honestly. But then I remembered those Dementors. I see, said Lupin thoughtfully. Well, I'm impressed. He smiled slightly at the look of surprise on Harry's face. That suggests that what you fear most of all is fear. Very wise, Harry. I love this conversation because Harry brings a real concern. Mm-hmm. And even Lupin says, so you've been thinking that I didn't believe you capable of fighting the Boggart? And Harry says, well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an honest conversation. Yeah. And Lupin is so honest that it takes Harry by surprise. Again, it's that teacher that supports the kid. It's the teacher that knows. We all know that Lupin is immediately in Harry's head. Like, he knows exactly what's happening, and he's just asking him and being honest with him and telling him up front, this is exactly what I see happening. But he's just waiting for kind of for Harry to figure it out himself.
Yeah.
And God, I wish, like, it's just so cool to be in that perspective when it's your best friend's kid and you just want to
tell him yet.
That's true. That's a good point.
You're not like, oh, by the way, while we're having tea, I knew your parents. They are my besties.
Yeah.
While they're having this tea, though, the least liked person comes into the room, Professor Snape. Professor Snape, who has made a drink in a smoking goblet. He actually made a cauldron full, he says. And, Lupin says, I'll take some more. Thanks very much, Severus. And Severus says, not at all. But there was a look in his eye that Harry didn't like. What do you think that look was? So Lupin, once again, so Snape says, I have a cauldron full if you need more. Lupin says, I should probably take some again tomorrow. Thanks very much, Severus. Severus says, not at all. And then there was a look in his eye that Harry didn't like. He backed out of the room, unsmiling and watchful.
In Harry's eye?
There was a look in Snape's eye that Harry didn't like.
Okay, got it. I wonder if it's...
He's saying, I've got a ton of potion. Yeah. Lupin's like, cool, I'm going to get some more. Thanks a ton. And he's like, yeah, not at all, no worries. And then he has a look in his eye that Harry doesn't like. What is that look?
I think it is a combination of things. And I'm only drawing on the history that we know because we've read and watched the rest of the story. That is, I think he's a little jealous. And I think he's a little pissed.
That's a different emotion than I think. Continue.
And the only reason why I say he's jealous and he's a little pissed is because it's happening all over again. Lupin is the cool kid. And here's...
I'm Harry freaking Potter!
Hanging out with Lupin. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be besties. And it's already happening. And I can already sense that people are turning against me. And he's not wrong. Because Harry is the one who feels that Snape is going to poison Lupin.
Mm.
And he's not being, like, he's not coming out and saying it, but he's being the most obvious he possibly can be. So what did you interpret that look to be?
Like a watchful eye. So for spoiler, he's giving Lupin Wolfsbane potion, which helps Lupin not turn into a werewolf because Lupin is part werewolf, like, sure, is werewolf. And this is going to help him stay more in the human form, of course. Part of me thinks that, you know, Snape knows about Lupin and is probably a little wary. Like, why would Dumbledore hire a werewolf to be a teacher for these kids?
That's really smart, Mary.
Because at the Halloween feast, Snape once again is eyeing Lupin nonstop. Lupin's having a great talk with Flitwick, and Harry looks over, and Snape is just continually throwing his eyes at Lupin. And yeah. I wonder, you know, how much of it is like, I really hope this potion works because this is not safe. Now, yes, Snape isn't happy. Snape doesn't probably have great memories of Lupin, just because of who he hung out with, nor is he happy about what happened in Lupin's class. But on the flip side, it's quite interesting how thankful Lupin is, how much Lupin trusts Professor Snape. He calls him Professor Snape, mm-hmm, repeatedly. He doesn't call him Snape or Severus.
Yeah, yeah.
In front of Harry, he says, I am very lucky to be working alongside Professor Snape. There aren't many wizards who are up to making this potion.
Yeah, yep.
This one is particularly complex. So I think that that's just a nice way of respect. And it kind of makes me think that Lupin, back in his school days, was kinder to Snape than Snape gives him credit for because of who he associated with.
That or Lupin, as he grew up, understood what was happening when he was younger and then realized, oh, that was not right. And he's since changed his tune.
Well, Lupin was already a werewolf in right. his... I feel like when you have a big-time issue that you deal with, it makes you more aware of yep. other people's, not necessarily shortfalls, but, you know, to be just a bit more observant. And whereas James Potter was just like the luckiest guy in the world, you know, came from a wizarding family, got the hottest girlfriend, was on the Quidditch team. Like, James didn't necessarily suffer at all. Yep. And I think when you go through trauma or suffering or have a difficulty, it just kind of makes you a bit more empathetic sure. to other people.
Rachel here on Facebook says, I feel like Professor Snape sees this as a leg up or an advantage over Lupin because no matter how great of a teacher Lupin is, he will always be a werewolf and looked down upon in wizards society.
Ooh.
I think not only, Rachel, I think you're right. Not only is he looked down upon in wizard society because he is a werewolf, but also, Mary, you, I think you hit this on the head and I'm just going to reiterate it. There's probably a real fear there. There's probably a real fear from Snape. Like, okay, I'm making this potion. What if it doesn't work? Number one. And number two, even if it does work, how long can this keep going? Like, I'm watching you. Like, I'm watching for every little sign. And I'm going to see what's happening.
And like you said before, like, Snape's not the most likable person, but he is a good teacher.
Yes.
And he takes his teaching and he takes Hogwarts very seriously. So here we are letting in this werewolf.
Which and he takes his skill very yes. seriously, which yes. again is, I think, is a mirror to Hagrid, which is mm-hmm. Hagrid is so
inexperienced,
insecure, inexperienced. It's again, it's a mirror using against each other from the author.
Halloween happens, and they have this most delightful description of how the Great Hall was decorated with hundreds and hundreds of candle-filled pumpkins, a cloud of fluttering live bats, of flaming orange streamers, which were swimming lazily across the stormy ceiling like brilliant water snakes.
Yeah.
Who chooses the decorations for each holiday?
Oh.
Who's the Joanna Gaines of Hogwarts?
That is good, Mary. Right? Good job. Bam.
Because it's a new decor every year. Like, Halloween looks different every year. Christmas looks different every year.
I don't know.
You know that when Gilderoy was there, he was all in. He was on that committee.
Yeah.
But who's on this committee now?
I wonder, you know who would be? You remember in the movie, The Sorcerer's Stone, when they show Snape clapping, and then there is that lady with the hat that you have no idea who she is.
Yes.
It's that lady.
She's got some good accessories.
It's like the purple hat, yeah. And she's like looking, you know, like, yeah, it's
dots, I's, and crosses, T's kind of lady.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's her. That's her.
I love it. Rachel thinks it's Flitwick. I think Dumbledore is in on there, too.
Oh, Dumbledore. Of course he's on the party planning committee.
He brings his knitting, and he's just like, I love it. I love this vibe.
There's some great things happening here.
There'll be streamers going around like brilliant water snakes. Sign me up. Sign me up. I agree. I think Flitwick has to be on that team, though, for all of the different charms to make
sure.
all this happen.
Of course, got to do that.
So then the ghosts do some fun things. We have, as I said, Snape constantly looking over Lupin's way.
Yep.
And then everyone tries to go back to the common room. And alas, there's like this big barricade of people. Let me through, please, came Percy's voice, and he came bustling importantly through the crowd. What's the hold up here? You can't have all forgotten the password. Excuse me, I'm head boy.
The worst. The worst.
Oh, and then of course he yells, somebody go get Dumbledore quick, Professor Dumbledore. And I'm wondering, do they have like an intercom spell? Or does someone actually go run? All the way. And who is it? Is it Colin Creevy?
He's got little legs. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Who would it be?
Fred or George. Fred or George could do it.
They would not.
That's
they
true.
Would
That's
not be
point.
Bothered by Percy. They would not miss out on what's going on.
That's a good point. It's not Seamus. He doesn't
It's
care.
Probably Dean. Dean Thomas would
do it. Yeah, he's a good boy.
Yeah. Neville would be afraid. He'd be like, what's coming on? Lav was still crying. It was Dean. We'll just imagine Dean Thomas running through the halls, trying to figure out the intercom spell. Professor Dumbledore, beep, over. And of course, Dumbledore comes, and Peeves is the one that tells them, you know, that Nestor Tempe, he's got that Sirius Black. Yeah. He's the one that tore apart this painting.
Dun, dun, dun.
Boom.
And it goes to show you that there needs to be a new head of security at Hogwarts. Somebody needs... they need to be some like security cameras, I feel like. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. I'm just glad Potter hadn't explored this Marauder's map yet, because...
Good point.
You know, one of the many secret entrances that's inside the Marauder's map is an easy way for Sirius to come in. And what if they bumped? Like, if Harry was trying to sneak out to Hogsmeade?
Right. Oh, bad news.
I mean, it actually would have been great.
All right, you ready for some different perspective, Mary?
Yes.
You got anything else to say about this, by the way?
Just a reminder to our friends watching live, now is your time to submit questions. If you already did it earlier, you can resubmit it with the lightning bolt before your question. Do I have any final thoughts? I do not.
Okay. So, want to let you know that A Different Perspective is brought to you by the Mary and Blake Store. Go to the maryandblakestore.com where you get all of the great nerd stuff, all of the great Potterverse stuff. And, of course, we have our brand new podcast for Bridgerton with Mary and Blake. If you love Bridgerton, you're going to want to go to the Mary and Blake Store because there's so much great Bridgerton material there. Of course, things for This Is Us and Outlander and everything else that we have at the Mary and Blake Store, including the shirt that I'm wearing, hashtag not a jabroni.
Mm.
So that is that. So go there, the Mary and Blake Store.com. Mary, it is your different perspective. Let's get her done.
Holy cricket, you're Harry Potter.
I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Professor Lupin on Halloween.
Oh, okay.
This is the best Halloween I've remembered ever.
Why is that, Professor?
You see, Snape had given me some amazing Wolfsbane potion. I am so fortunate to work with Professor Snape. He makes the best Wolfsbane potion. I don't scratch the back of my head anymore. I ordered a steak medium rare.
Oh, and you can eat peanut butter. You don't like...
Oh, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Honestly,
good stuff.
I had a peanut butter pudding and... I didn't have some weird mouth reaction. I could talk to Flitwick the entire time, and I didn't want to eat him. He's so small that normally on full moon nights, it would have been very difficult for me to pass up such a small morsel.
Just put him right in your mouth.
But it was just great, you know? Like, at Hogwarts, I get free food.
Mm-hmm.
And...
free Wolfsbane?
I get free Wolfsbane. And
although, as Snape said, pity that sugar makes it completely useless. So it's got to taste like crap.
It does. It does.
It's a drawback.
But then I get to go and have peanut butter pudding. So it's totally worth it. And I got to bond with Harry Potter.
Oh, he's your best friend's kid.
He is.
Did you tell him yet?
No.
Why not? I feel like that's one of the first things that you'd say to like your best friend's kid.
I know, and now it's really weird because like I probably should have told him on the train, and then I didn't, and now it's like this thing where it's like
the longer it goes,
do I just pretend I never knew his dad? I'm already pretending I'm not a werewolf. Maybe in like a couple years.
I feel like you're stuck in a web of lies, and who knows? You know, Remus, you may not be around in a couple of years.
Have you been talking to Trelawney? End scene.
Awesome job, Mary. This is why you should just take over the different perspectives constantly. Yes, absolutely. That's it. I'm hitting the gavel. There it is. That you're taking over the different perspectives from now on. Of course, now is the time for the emails and the questions. If you're listening in on the podcast app, do not fret. Do not fret, my friend. You can participate in this. Just send us an email about any question that you have or any comment that you have concerning the Potterverse, and we will answer it the next episode. And if you are with us live, as Mary said earlier, please just put a lightning bolt emoji before your comment. That way we get a chance to read it, see it, and then we will know it is a question for us to address. That is it, Mary. We have some emails. Let's get to them.
Oh, Miles here.
All right, this one comes from Cyan. I think it's Cyan, S-I-A-N. If I'm mispronouncing your name, Cyan, I really apologize. Please do give me a pronunciation when you hear this episode. They write, I always thought Crookshanks was an animagus and was sent to look after Harry, Hermione, and Ron. First, your thoughts on that.
So that's what you kind of feel and think. Like, we learn about animagi in this book.
Okay.
And you kind of think, like, is Crookshanks one? But she's not. Or he's not.
No. Also, last episode, someone asked about the Sorting Hat. I was listening with Jack, my 8-year-old son.
Hello, Jack.
He has a theory that the Sorting Hat can see into the future to see what house they should be in. Actually, he added that the Sorting Hat can see exactly what would happen to each child in each house to choose
which is best.
I'm really proud of him. Jack. That is, you know
well,
what?
He gets an outstanding
You
for
are
that.
Absolutely getting an outstanding, Jack. Outstanding.
Makes me want to shout.
Absolutely, Jack. Although here's a good question. This is a morality question out of this. If the Sorting Hat can see the future and sees Harry's future in the oncoming battle with Voldemort, number one, is he fully aware of Harry's status as a Horcrux? And number two, isn't he obligated to tell Harry about it?
My brain is gone.
All right. This one comes from Denise. Our girl Denise says, just a comment about Lupin. You said he would smell a little bit. I've always thought of him to smell like one's older uncle who wears Aquavelva or Brute to cover his smell of stale cigarettes and a day after alcohol seeping through his pores. Oh, you know what, Denise?
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
Absolutely. Great job. Great job. This one comes from Dee. She says, my question is in regards to your podcast for the Potterverse. I know it's a little too early on in the series to really know much about it yet, but when it does come up, do you like the relationship between Ron and Hermione, or would you have preferred them to end up with someone else, Harry and Hermione, or Ron and Lavender? Loving the Potterverse so far. Total Potterhead, and it's good to find people out there like her. Marvin, your thoughts?
I would not have ended up with a Hermione.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I am a Harry and Hermione guy.
I'm still down with Harry and Ginny. Book, Ginny. But as I said, I relate closest to Ron, and I think I dated someone who kind of reminds me of Hermione, and I think it would have driven me crazy. I think we would have fought a lot. And I don't like fighting. You and I don't fight that much.
Try not to, at least.
Yeah. Our motto, for those of you who are in relationships, is the problem is the problem. The partner is not the problem.
That's right. Absolutely.
So solve the problem together with your partner.
I feel like Ron and Lavender is not, is you know, no, just...
Not great, Bob.
Why not?
I don't know. I just feel like Lavender is just too much. Especially movie Lavender.
Moving Lavender. Is
movie Lavender is a little aggressive for my taste. All right, the next one comes from Lacey. She says, I'm a big fan, but what would your Patronus be? Marvin, your Patronus.
Oh, my Patronus. Like the Pottermore Patronus or the Patronus that I would like it to be?
The Patronus that you would like it to be. I feel like that's more than likely the question.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like the Pottermore Patronus is like kind of, it's kind of lame.
Agreed. How about you go first?
It would be a lion.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kind of into lions.
Nice.
Like, I'm into them.
I dig it.
You know, a big mane and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Not because, like, I think I'm cool, but I just think that, you know, King of the Jungle, man, it's just a lion. Like, how you can't get any more awesome than a lion.
Nice.
All right, so what do you got?
Well, like, I would have said a turtle, but I feel like that Patronus would go so slowly. That I'll switch
Hold
it to
on.
Whale. Imagine a whale Patronus.
It'd be so big.
Bring it on, Dementors. Like a blue whale Patronus. Bring it on. That's mine. A blue whale. Mic drop.
Or dare I say, a sperm whale?
No.
That's what she said.
What?
You're 5 years old.
Yes, of course I am. All right, we got some questions here on the live chat. Let's see what we got here. This one, first one comes from Kyle N. Do you really think it was Sirius tearing the painting once we really found out about Sirius? I doubt that he would have done that. Marvin, thoughts?
Yes, he would have.
Why do you think he would have?
because he wants to kill Scabbers. He wants to kill Scabbers, and he goes on in there, and he just came in through the Sheiking Shack, and he's like ready. He's ready to get Scabbers. He and Crookshanks had a little like side convo, and yeah. she's like, "Man, Scabbers is here," and he's like, "I know. Tell me when I should break in." And she's yep. like, "Now, because everybody's at the Halloween feast." Or he, I was called Crookshanks a girl.
Yeah.
And he's like coming in, and the fat lady won't let him in.
He probably has the old password. Thinks, "Oh, it's got to be the same password."
Crookshanks is telling him the passwords.
Right.
And he's like, "Fat lady, let me in." She's like, "You're serious, Black. I'm not letting you in. I'm doing my job." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I need to kill Scabbers." He's in there. And he slashed the painting because he's gone a little crazy in jail for 13 years.
Sure, sure. Jackie asks, "What do you think Lupin needs Snape to make the Wolfsbane potion? He has needed it for a long time. You would think he should be able to make it himself. Who do you think made it for him before he came to Hogwarts?"
I feel like Lupin, you know, Lupin says he's not great at potions, so I yep. feel like he would do a fine job. Like, he wouldn't go kill people, but he'd probably grow like a really weird beard and have like fur patches on him.
Yeah, it probably
and
just
have
wouldn't.
Fleas.
Yeah.
Like, it would be fine as long as he stayed home for a week.
Yeah.
Or a couple of days, but like,
if he quarantined for like a
yeah,
week.
Yeah, then he'd be fine. But yeah. for him to be kind of like in public and as a teacher, yeah. he needs a professional grade yes. Wolfsbane potion.
Agreed, agreed. Gloria asks, "Why do they keep letting Malfoy get away with faking his injury? Madame Pomfrey knows he's healed."
Because he is Malfoy.
Right. And his father's part of the Board of Governors.
And he probably pays for like all the medical supplies in Madame Pomfrey's office. He's probably like, "My Draco is fragile.
Yeah.
So you tell me whatever you need, Madame Pomfrey. I'll make sure your storm room is stocked."
And I feel like they're just kind of like, "Oh, okay, Malfoy, fine. Fine. Just whatever.
Do you need another popsicle?"
Here's some more Pedialyte. Go ahead. Yeah,
go
just go
it.
Away.
Go for it.
Allison says, "Mary, you can have a slider turtle there quick."
Ooh.
Sure. I didn't even know what a slider turtle is.
That was the
is.
Kind of turtle I had with the red.
Was it really?
Yeah. Oh. The red-eared slider.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Julie says, "Hashtag
you
Malfoy.
You babysat it when I was in Bali."
I did. Yeah, but I don't... Okay. You think I was paying enough attention to a no. red-headed turtle?
No, it wasn't a whole
it's
red
like the
head.
Weasley of turtles.
Anyway.
All right. Julie Garrick says, "Hashtag Malfoy sucks."
Truth.
Hashtag correct. All right. So that is that, ladies and gents. We're going to close this bad boy out. For those of you who are watching live at this very second, we are going to be doing This Is Us 2 next, which is really great. We're going to be doing another podcast.
So you just need to refresh the Mary and Blake feed once we're done with this.
Yes. And if you're listening to this on the podcast app, if you are a listener to This Is Us 2, just know that you will be getting This Is Us 2 downloaded into your player probably the same exact time that this has been downloaded. So check it out there. And that is that. So,
all right.
Ready to close it out?
I am.
All right, let's do it.
As always, we need to close out the show by thanking our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. This year has been crazy for podcasters, crazy fun, busy. We've been able to expand to so many other fandoms, including Potter. But it is honestly thanks to listeners like you. So if you feel so inclined, if we are bringing you Lumos in the time of Nox, if we keep you company while you're working from home or on your drive or while you're going for a walk with the dog, know that you can go to jointhenerdclan.com for as little as $2 a month. And honestly, every single one of those contributions helps make everything at Mary and Blake Media possible.
Yeah, because we are an independent little podcast company. We are running it ourselves. We're not, you know, part of the corporate monster that, you know, a lot of the podcasts are being taken over by now. Actually, I went into the new and noteworthy section the other day, and every single podcast was from like iHeartMedia, HBO, Nerd Media, whatever the heck it is. It's like every single one is just this major corporate thing. So helping out an independent podcast like this is a big help.
So thank you, friends. You can head on over once again. Join thenerdclan.com. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
Mischief managed.